racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
A hearty welcome to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr., who just happens to be the general manager at Normandy Golf Club in St. Louis. By the way, it's the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi. You're in the area, I highly recommend you break out your sticks, play 18 at Normandy. You're going to enjoy it. Well, Jay, we kind of picked players that would get out of the pods last week. You picked five. I only got four, but hey, when I only lose by one to Jay Randolph Jr., I think that's a win.
Well, you also had the champion, and you also predicted the champion once the brackets were set on Talk Sport over in Europe. So you win the week. You know, it was a very interesting match play. I love the winner. Whenever I think of Kevin Kisner, I think of one place, and it's a place I was lucky enough to play golf with you and Janice. And I played a bunch when I was in college at the University of South Carolina. And that's the Palmetto in Aiken, South Carolina. That's the type of golf course where, you know, you play it one day, it's one way. The next day, it's totally different. You use every club in your bag. And I've always had an admiration for Kevin Kisner, because if you're lucky enough to grow up at Palmetto, you figured out how to play the game of golf.
Well, you brought up a great point there, and I didn't even think about it until you mentioned that. I would rate Austin Country Club and Palmetto, they're very similar in a lot of ways. Palmetto is certainly not an overly long golf course.
Right, yep.
But, you know, when Ben Hogan says it has the best par fours of any golf course he ever played, I mean, you better pick up your head and take notice.
It's a nuanced golf course. That's what I meant by it can change every day. It's a little like Normandy. You know, these are old school layouts that don't have the numbers necessarily on the yardage. But, you know, they've got short holes. But some of those short holes can be, you can make a birdie or a double bogey just as easy either way, because they're kind of risk reward and they've got some trouble on them. You know, I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find a better place to play golf and enjoy a round than in Aiken, South Carolina at the Palmetto, and don't expect a whole lot of frills either. It's not exactly the same as down the street, Augusta.
But I'll tell you one thing, that pretty nice in that pro shop and some of the chili and hot dogs they serve.
There you
in
go.
There. Excellent. And one other point, interesting to note, Stanford White, the renowned architect who designed the clubhouse at Shinnecock, made a replica down at Palmetto. It's actually the Shinnecock clubhouse, only in miniature, and it really is a sight to see. Anyway, a sight to see was certainly the play of Kevin Kisner last week at the Austin Country Club, and this is what he had to say after that thrilling victory.
A big week, long week, and grueling. So not only from the mental side, but the physical side. A lot of golf and a lot of stressful holes and stressful putts that I was able to prevail and had a great week. And love Austin Country Club, love Austin, Texas, and love being out here. I don't think I played my best all week, really. I don't think you really – it's so hard to tell because you're not really playing for a score. You're playing – more to situational golf in match play than you are trying to go shoot 68 or 9 or 7 or whatever. You know, I feel like I just did what I needed to do. I know Matt didn't play well today. Him making only, I think, two birdies the entire day is unlike him, and he gave more bogeys than I'd ever seen. I thought we'd be a big par and birdie fest out there. But the golf course is hard, and it's a long week. Couple bounces in the wrong section of the greens, and it's a difficult two-putt for par.
It's amazing, his play, and he alluded to, Jay, how grueling it was. How about Dwayne Bach, his renowned caddy that I have connections to? He's from the east end of Long Island and known his family for a long, long time. On Wednesday, gets out of bed, hits his toe against the bedpost, and breaks his middle toe, and caddied all week. It caused that he was walking different. It caused the knee to swell up. Of course, 10% of $1,745,000 might take away a little of the pain Dwayne Bock was feeling. But his major concern now, and I just got finished talking to him just a few minutes before we started to do In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and he's a little iffy right now for the Masters. And how unfortunate that would be, not only for Dwayne Bock, but my thoughts automatically went to Kevin Kisner. I mean, you know, they're a team. And, yep. And if he has to show up at the Masters and not have Dwayne on the bag, and I know Dwayne, he's going to do everything. He may cut that damn leg off to caddy, but we want to wish him the very best from In the Grill Room and get better so he can be there. But Kiz, he's tough.
Oh, he's real tough. You know, he's a cash money player, used to playing cash games. Not all these guys today did that. I mean, you know, it's interesting to see the mindset. And cash games lead to being good in match play and being a grinder and trying to think you always got a shot. He's a guy that I wonder a little bit why he doesn't win more often. But, you know, this was a signature win for him. There's no doubt about it. And you know, at the age of 35... you know, he's got to start thinking, you know, do I have a major in me? I've got three wins now. Can I find a major? And the perfect major for him, as I said, just a chip shot away, his hometown of Aiken, South Carolina, would be Augusta, Georgia. And like you, I certainly hope Dwayne is able to get back on the bag. But, you know, Kisner now jumps up to 25th in the world rankings.
Yeah, quite a background story, too. Got $16,000 from his father to start out his professional career on the mini tours. Made a little money in his first two events, won the third event, and he's very proud. They never had to go back to his dad for more money. And I guess maybe after that check hit the bank this week. I mean, can you imagine? He won $1,745,000 at the match play. He won over $1 million last year at the match play. People are forgetting that he finished second last year. I mean, yep. When you finish second one year and then you win the next year, boy, you are, as you accurately said, Jay, a hell of a match play player.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it's perfect for him. I mean, if they had this four or five times a year, he might be in the top 10 in the FedEx Cup rankings every year. He thrives on it. He's one of those guys with a little chip on his shoulder. You know, he doesn't do anything really, really well or above the rest, but he does everything really good. And when it's the right week and the right situation, it leads him to weeks like this. Very impressive stuff for Mr. Kisner. Good stuff for Kuchar. Back to another guy who showed his promise, as you well know, Bob, in match play in the United States Amateur. He's another one of those guys always seems to play well in match play.
Yeah, he came up short against Kevin Kisner. Didn't come up short in the bank department. No, he collected $1,095,000.
But this
is what Kuch had to say after his round.
Yeah, certainly not what I'm looking for. It's tough to maintain the high level of play the entire tournament, and you know, you hope to do it. And I feel like I've kind of built a game that I can kind of rely on playing some good steady golf. But I gave too many holes away. It's one of the things I've kind of pride myself on is just not ever giving holes away. And you know, I knew against Kisner I couldn't do it, and he just plodded along and played proper good steady golf, and you know, kind of let me make mistakes and. Yeah, that was kind of great, good going by Kevin.
Unfortunately, Jay, probably more people are going to remember the incident with Sergio Garcia in the match before, you know, where Kuchar had walked off the green. Sergio had about, I guess, 7 foot to win, putted it up to about 2 inches, and then went to rake it in, didn't go in. Normally, Kuchar would give him that putt, but you can't do it after the fact. And there's some heated exchanges there, but I think they kissed and made up on Monday. I saw a little video on a Golf Digest video post. And I hope that's the end of it. I mean, Cooch is a good guy. Sergio is certainly a good guy. Cooch goes from 24 to 16 in the world. What do you think of that Sergio incident?
Well, I agree with you that Sergio's a good guy, but he sure acts dumb a lot of times on the golf course. You know, I understand that he knew that putt was going to be given, but you don't do what he did. So I don't understand why Sergio, again, is the one upset when he created the situation. That's what, and I thought we were kind of beyond this stuff with Sergio after Augusta. When he got his green jacket, I felt like, okay, you know, the monkey's off his back, all that jazz. But he's still had a couple incidents since then. You know, he's a fiery guy. I think he probably, you know, threw Kuchar for a loop, as upset as he got, because, you know, Matt's, you know, as jolly as they can be, almost scary, you know, like nothing bugs him. So, you know, like you, I hope it's passed. I hope we get past it. I hope Sergio doesn't have any more incidents. Kuchar, Bob, jumps from 24 to 16 in the world. I mean, Matt Kuchar's up to 16, and he's got to be considered one of the favorites at Augusta.
Absolutely. And if you want to join me as we go to the altar of forgiveness together, we had a little fun, good-hearted fun with Lucas Beauregard is his name. We couldn't pronounce it last week, but I'll tell you one thing. After you defeat Tiger like Beauregard did, you learn to pronounce his name real fast.
Well, and in a way, Tiger defeated himself with the shot on 18 before Beauregard. But Lucas had played really well in that match. Congratulations to him. You know, he tried to fight back against Molinari a little late, but I mean, Lucas Beauregard, I never heard of him last week. I had heard of the 63 other players, all 63 I'd heard of except Lucas. And now I know who Lucas is, and now Lucas is on the radar.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hits it 9 million miles and seems to be fairly accurate using my lenses. How about Tiger? He certainly established the fact that, you know, he's competitive. I wouldn't call him razor sharp. And I'm of the opinion, and I want your take on this, Jay. I think Tiger's chances of winning the Masters after leaving Austin were less than they were when he arrived at Austin.
That's a tough one, Bob. I saw some, you know, he putted at times brilliantly. I'm kind of in between. I think, you know, he's destined to have a good Masters, you know, a top 10 this year. I don't know if he's going to win. You know, I was disappointed by the play he made under the heat a little bit against Beauregard when he left it in the bunker. But I'd say I'm kind of, if you ask me, go, I'd say holding steady. I see him as a top 10 at Augusta.
Well, if you could see him as a win, I would pick you up in a private aircraft. And when those wheels touch down, that airport would say McCarran Field, which happens to be Las Vegas, Nevada.
There you go.
But anyway, you know, he slowly... Hey, you know what we should do? And almost forgot it, but it's worth listening to. I think our listeners will enjoy it. Beauregard talking about the Tiger atmosphere out there.
I didn't actually shut it out. I really enjoyed it. I tried to enjoy it because I knew it was going to be crazy, and I've heard the stories about, you know, from top players that when you play with him, it's different than anything, and it definitely was. But I tried to I actually tried to take it in and not try to close it out. And that worked pretty well. I enjoyed all the the yelling and stuff. And there was a few guys making fun of my name, which was all right. Yeah, so it was really, really, you know, it's, I'm probably glad I don't play in under those conditions every time I play, because it's very, very different to anything I've experienced. But it was really, it was actually quite enjoyable.
Well, we're trendsetters, Jay. We had trouble with that name long before he got to Austin.
He understood. He forgives us. We won't get it wrong anymore, Lucas.
That's for sure. Dustin Johnson, well, he didn't play particularly well. He's the world's number one. Didn't make it out of the pod.
No, he didn't. Justin Thomas didn't. I'm not real worried about Dustin. I think, you know, his focus is on Augusta this year. Rory, now he lost to Tiger in the Sweet 16. But let me tell you something. Those first three matches, he won his first three matches. He only lost a total of three holes over those three matches. Rory is trending, I mean, like perfect. Perfect for Augusta. You know, I was fearful in a way, and I said it last week, that Rory was going to win the match play because he was playing so good. And I felt like, you know, winning the Players, then winning the match play, you know, maybe it's taking something out of him for Augusta. I think Rory is setting up about as brilliantly as you can for next week.
Yeah, and there's one number you have to pay particular attention to when considering Rory to slip on that green jacket. Augusta National for next week's Masters, over 7,700 yards. And who does that favor? It favors Rory McIlroy. Well, whenever there's a World Golf Championship event, there's an opposite field event. And this one was held down in the Dominican Republic. And congratulations to Graham McDowell, who I have told many, many times that he is the greatest comeback player in history, because he'd been playing quite a bit of golf. And then the Ryder Cup went to Dublin, and I was asked to do a little TV work, and the guy sitting alongside of me was none other than Graham McDowell. So I say, Graham, do you know what you've accomplished? You went from sitting alongside of myself to winning the U.S. Open and being the great player that you are. But it was certainly a nice win for Graham McDowell down in the Dominican Republic.
Well, it was a huge win for Graham McDowell. I mean, he's working his fanny off to get in the Open Championship in his home country of Northern Ireland at Port Rush. This is huge. You know, a guy like Graham McDowell wins the United States Open. He's basically a hero over the pond in his home country and throughout Europe. He has a couple of kids. You start to settle down. You lose your game a little bit. Looks like he's getting it back with something to focus on. I thought that was real strong of him winning down there. A lot of guys going low down there, but congratulations to GMAC.
Yeah, he's one of the real good guys in the game. He jumped from number 257 in the world rankings to 133rd, but he does need to keep climbing that ladder. And I think with that confidence that you alluded to, Mr. Randolph, that we may be seeing some more good things from Graham McDowell in the immediate future.
Now that we're caught up with the tournament news, let's take a little break and figure out what the impact of the match play might have on the Masters. You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, and we're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. He's Bob Bubka. You can find him at Bob Bubka, V-O-G on Twitter. At V-O-G is for Voice of Golf. You can find me at STL Golf Geek. Bob, we talked about the match play and how it might impact the Masters. Looking at the world rankings, Dustin Johnson is number one. Tiger had moved up to 12. You know, the fact that Kevin Kisner won and has got some connection to the area, there's just going to be a lot of guys, as we've talked about, that are going to be in the mix going in. I mean, I can't imagine what we're – next week we're going to talk about everybody.
No, you're right about that, Jay. I'm getting the feeling that this may be as wide Masters as we've had maybe in history. I think – what we should do for our listeners, maybe they're, you know, inclined to reach in their pocket and put a few shekels down. So let's just talk a little bit. I mean, you mentioned already Dustin Johnson. You weren't worried about his performance in Austin. I agree. I don't think it's going to affect him too much when we get to Augusta National. I mean, he's the world's number one player. So if you say he's going to win the Masters, and basically only saying what should be said.
And he was set up to do it before the accident at the Masters. You know, so this seems a healthy DJ. This seems like a – I mean, he's got to be one of the two or three favorites, no question about it. I think Rory as well. You know, and then you get to some guys – I mean, certainly, I said it last week, you could see Francesco Molinari in a green jacket. Justin Rose seems to be playing so well that he can't finish out of the top 10. You know, Brooks Koepka didn't look that great at the match play. But again, I don't think, you know, he doesn't seem to get affected by anything. There's just a ton of guys. We talked about Tiger. You know, if everything goes right, yeah, Tiger, I guess, could win the Masters. It's just, it's phenomenal. I mean, there are guys we haven't even talked about. Finau, who surprised us last year. On and on.
Yeah, I mean, got to throw Tommy Fleetwood in that mix. And I think certainly would be no surprise to me, and I doubt it would be a surprise to you, Jay, Justin Thomas. I mean, he's such a world-class player. And then how do we analyze Patrick Reed? He's certainly not playing well, but we didn't talk about him as somebody we thought could win a green jacket a year ago. who knows what happens? He gets down there, and bingo.
How about why not Bubba Watson? I mean, if it's the right week, I mean, he's already won two. You could certainly see him winning again. I mean, it's just crazy. John Rahm. How about the success Phil has had? Phil has shown signs of playing well. I just think it's going to be a fascinating golf tournament. It's going to be interesting to see how it's set up. As you mentioned, Bob, 7,700 yards. I mean, I don't know what would make Sam Snead more crazy, the money or seeing that golf course at 7,700 yards. You know, I just – there's a reason why it seems like this major championship has kind of – I don't want to say surpassed the others, but stands out a little bit more than others. I mean, I used to be a U.S. Open guy as a kid. I think I'm a Masters guy.
Well, you know, there are a lot of factors that go into the Masters, and now with the switching of dates amongst the other three majors, it kind of throws you off your long-held beliefs about certain events. I mean, the Masters is always the first major. It's always going to be the first major. I mean, there's no doubt that it's the easiest when you clear away all the smoke. It's the easiest of the majors to win. Just based on
field size.
Well, not only field size, but don't forget in that field are a considerable number of former champions who realistically are there more for the champions dinner than they are to try and compete.
And a couple of amateurs that, obviously we've seen, Kenny Venturi and some others show some signs of brilliance, Matt Kuchar being one. But they're a couple of amateurs, and they're not in the mix. And it's probably, if you look at it, maybe not year in, year out, but the majority of the time, the easiest golf course, usually the lowest score to relation to par, even though we've seen some of that kind of change. And while they've tried, while as you and I have talked about, Bob, they tried to restore the roars on Sunday, I think maybe this year they may wait till Sunday to let the roars come out.
This year marks the 50th anniversary of the win at the Masters by George Archer. And it's extremely difficult in learning that George Archer did not have the ability to either read or write. And his wife has been tireless in her efforts to help youngsters, get over that hurdle in life. But, winning the Masters is tough enough, Jay, but going down there and knowing that you don't have the ability to read or write, I mean, to me, that's just almost unbelievable.
It's mind-boggling. I mean, it's unbelievable. You're right. It's at least we've hopefully gotten over a lot of those situations in our country.
Yeah, absolutely, and congratulations.
Speaking of getting over situations, my man, they're going to be women playing Augusta National the week before the Masters.
Congratulations to Augusta National in creating this Augusta National Women's Amateur. It's a new tradition. They're billing it as only took 85 years in the making, but it is new. Boy, congratulations. I mean, I could not be happier. This is just going to be a wonderful week. When you think now, we're going to have the women's amateur, and then we're going to have that drive, chip, and putt, and then we're going to have the Masters. I mean, how good does one week get?
That's how good Augusta is. This is, Bob, I am so much more excited for what I'm going to watch Saturday with these amateur gals at Augusta than I have been in years. I mean years for watching an LPGA golf tournament. I will be locked in Saturday. I'll be interested to see how they play holes. I think it's just brilliant. As you said, you get these ladies on Saturday. You get the kids on Sunday, and then tournament week starts. They know what they're doing. Now, they're playing. They're going to play Wednesday and Thursday. They'll take Friday off and play Saturday for the final round, which is a little different. They're taking one day off.
Well, the day that they're taking off, though, the entire field gets to play Augusta National on Friday. Then only the top 30 that advance
I got you.
After the first 36 holes get to play on Saturday in the finals. And, boy, winning this is going to be pretty special. You know, the winner gets an invitation for the next 5 years and then gets into the U.S. Women's Open, the British Women's Open, or any other USGA, RNA, PGA of America amateur championship for which she is eligible for 1 year. So lots of perks, lots of thrills. good luck to the best lady amateurs in the world. I know they're going to have a blast, Jay. It's impossible not to be as high as you can possibly be emotionally when you're playing the ground of Augusta National.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, and you'll be connected. Bob, let's turn our attention to the Valero Texas Open, the TPC San Antonio, the Oaks course. Some players like to play before a major, others don't. Houston had done everything they could, as you well know, to try and get the conditions like Augusta. You can't do that, but they gave it all their try. Now it's the Valero Texas Open.
Yeah, and they still, you know, there are X number of players, Jay, and obviously it's a personal choice, but a lot of players insist that they perform better at a major when they play the week before. There's probably just as many in the other camp that say, no, I'd rather take the week off prior to a major. So a little bit undefeated, but a little bit undecided as to which is the right method. We know Tiger never played the week before a major. I don't think Jack Nicklaus ever played the week before a major, but they got some heavy guns down there. Billy Horschel, Jordan Spieth, Jonathan Vegas, they're going to be paired together in the first round. That's a pretty good group of three there.
Well, absolutely. And then you got long-hitting J.B. Holmes with Adam Long a week away from his first-ever trip to Augusta. And Graham McDowell, last week's winner at Punta Cana. And then you got a little Texas trio, I believe. I'm not sure about Landry. I know you got Ricky Fowler, Andrew Landry, and Jimmy Walker, Dynamite, who is from the state of Texas.
Yeah, absolutely. And the gentleman that we had a lot of fun with at Austin, somebody that took down Tiger Woods, Lucas Beauregard, he's going to be playing. Ernie Els, who playing yep. some better golf of late. And how about the next Ryder Cup captain, Patrick Harrington, going to be teeing it up. Davis Love III also. So a little bit of old, little bit of new. And Matt Kuchar is in the field. And, boy, Matt is, he's got the pedal to the metal, so to speak. I mean, he's playing in Austin, playing in San Antonio. And you got to like his chances at the Masters. Georgia Tech guy has never won a major, won a United States amateur back in 1997. But Matt Kuchar, maybe he's just said to himself, hey, look, I'm just going to play as much as I can, and when I get to the Masters, I'll start worrying about that green jacket.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play Harbortown. he certainly is putting to the pedal the metal, as you said. And, Bob, you mentioned the old and the new. My goodness, the pride of Franklin, Kentucky. Kenny Perry is playing in the Texas Open. Good for him. Another little timeout, and then we'll hear a special interview Bob had last week. And it's all about the incredible Horseshoe Bay Resort.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at the Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
golf world right now, focused on Austin, Texas, home to the Dell Technologies Match Play Championship. But it's not the only excitement taking place in the state of Texas. Lots of excitement out at the club at Horseshoe Bay Resort. And I'm joined right now by the director of golf, Anthony Holder, and the head golf professional at Summit Rock by the name of Dale Wood. Let's begin with Anthony Holder. Big investment in Horseshoe Bay, somewhere in the $70, $80 million category. I mean, it was a jewel before. I can't even begin to imagine how great it's going to be when you're finished. Tell our listeners what you hope to achieve out there with this kind of renovation.
Bob, thank you for having us on. Number one, it's an exciting time for us. It's an $80 million capital infusion, virtually touching all the touch points and all the amenities and outlets at the facility. So more importantly, I'm really excited about the golf courses. So we're renovating the golf courses, new clubhouses coming online, new pavilion, doing some modifications to the course to make it a little more user-friendly, but also more appealing to the eye. So, you know, a lot of things happening, and, you know, it's at the end of the day, it's going to really impact the guest experience and the member experience. So we're excited with what's going on.
The ultimate goal would be to have this as a golf destination, something like what is now underway at Cola, Wisconsin, Bandon Dunes. We want people to say Horseshoe Bay is a must-play experience.
That's right, and it is. You know, a big piece of the puzzle is making sure you have a current and up-to-date product. We've got that. We've got some of the friendliest faces and people around, the best professional staff, I think, in the state of Texas. So you match the product with the service, and you've got something really special, and I think that's what we're on to here.
And talk now with Dale Wood, the head golf professional out at Summit Rock. I understand that Jack Nicklaus Design, and pretty good friends with Jack, and I have yet to see a course that wasn't well designed by Mr. Nicklaus. You got to be excited with your position there.
Yeah, Bob, thank you. I appreciate it. Jack did a wonderful job. We had great land. We had a lot of terrain. You've got some high views of the lake, surrounding areas. It's a championship golf course, but friendly to all golfers. Our members really enjoy playing that golf course quite a bit. I think, especially this time of year, it's surrounded by blue bonnets. It's a real great Texas experience out there.
Of course, the property itself leads to a great golf course. I mean, just pure natural land that Jack had an opportunity to work with and put his magic touches on. As far as the membership, how far away do people, be a member? Is it strictly in the local area, or do people come from far away?
Really, about half the membership lives there full-time, and then we have quite a few members who live in Austin, Houston, San Antonio, Dallas, even West Texas, and they like to come in on the weekends and just really experience the Horseshoe Bay. It's just the funny thing about Horseshoe Bay is everybody's there by choice. And so nobody has to be there. They all come there. They're excited to be there. They enjoy the lake, all the amenities. And the resort just brings so much to that area.
And Anthony Holder, director of golf, there's more to do at Horseshoe Bay than just play golf.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, we have our own private airport there on site, so that that makes it a little easier for us to have people fly in and out, small groups. And secondly, we've got a constant level lake. It's one of the most beautiful lakes in the state of Texas, and you got the hill country vistas, you got the rolling hills, and a lot of wildlife out there. So you got deer running around, and you know, it's just a beautiful place to be. And the cool thing that I like about the area is you still have all the amenities, or the luxuries that you would have in a big city, but you've got that slowed down feel of a smaller town. So kind of get the best of both worlds, in my opinion.
Understand that the names of the courses are pretty interesting in their own right. Could you name those courses for us?
Yeah, so we've got Apple Rock, which is currently under renovation, Ram Rock, which recently opened from renovation, Slick Rock, which was renovated in 2016, and then we have Summit Rock. So a lot of rocks in the action, but the cool thing about the facility is each course has got its own characteristics and are uniquely different from each other. So it it makes it for a good experience. You never feel like you're playing the same golf course or the same hole.
A huge amount of money is being invested. You want to make it as great an experience as possible. Is there a completion date when you can say we can put a ribbon on this, we're all finished and ready to go at 100%?
I think we're about 80% complete coming up around May 1st. A lot of the golf renovations will be almost all complete by the 15th of May. We still have another clubhouse that will be in the works towards the tail end of the year, but we're getting really close. And then, you know, we'll continue to identify areas that need to be updated and do some cosmetic renovations and continue to update the resort as we see fit.
Well, it's a winner in my book. If you're planning a golf trip, put Horseshoe Bay on your list, and I think you'll be sending me a thank you note.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in The Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.